We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome into the Wednesday edition of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm Steve Perech, joined as always by Dusty Evely, Sarah Kelleher. What is going on in the kitchen, guys? Sarah, how you doing?
What kind of intro is that?
That was a reference to the joke that was made right before we started recording the podcast.
Okay,
were you listening at all?
But no.
The thing is, The people that are listening to this podcast were not listening before Dusty hit record. So,
dude, I have introduced doing weird shit before, like what's going on in the kitchen. And really, listen, that's the thing that threw you off.
You were gone for a little bit, so I forgot that this is how we start the show sometimes.
Forgot that I'm a weirdo? Okay, I got you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. I did, essentially. Right.
Sarah Kelleher, how are you doing today?
Yeah, all right. We're here. We have
nailed it.
We have so much to talk about in the NFL, the Packers. There's just so much news happening in the football world, but yeah, we're going to break it all down for you in this brief episode coming up here.
Dusty, how are you doing today?
I'm excited cooking in the kitchen, Steve. I like that we always get to this time of year and we're always like, man, we're looking forward to a short episode. We're going to go 40 minutes. Like, we already know how this goes. But yeah, I'm excited to be here, talking football with you guys. It's all, even if we don't have anything to talk about, it's always good to sit down and talk with you guys. So I'm excited.
Agreed. Good way to put that, Dusty.
Thank you.
Well, we're just off to a great start, guys.
Tremendous.
So OTAs started today. We had some coaches talk. We had a whole slew of players not available. And none of us are in Green Bay to actually watch it. So, Dusty, we'll start with you. Tell us a couple of the tweets that you saw that caught your eye or people that weren't there. The big takeaways from OTAs in May.
The big takeaways from day one of the OTAs. Yes, you said we're not there. So I mean, very appreciative, as always, to the people up there covering. I know Schneidman always does a tremendous job. Friend of the podcast, Matt Schneidman, always does a great job kind of hitting all the high notes and some nice little moments that happen. So first off, he had the list of the guys not at OTAs. It was Sammy Watkins, Alan Lazard. He noted that Alan Lazard on the team website is still listed as a restricted free agent, meaning he has not signed his tender. We've touched on that in the past. We don't need to get into that. I do think he's going to sign. It's just worth noting. Jair Alexander, Rasul Douglas, Rashawn Gary, Jonathan Garvin, Randy Ramsey, Mercedes Lewis, Preston Smith, and Aaron Rodgers. Gasp. Shock. Oh, no. So those guys were not at voluntary. I repeat, voluntary OTAs.
Mandatory.
In the side workout area.
Is anybody else slightly annoyed by that?
By what?
Yeah. Yes.
$50 freaking million and the man can't show up to a practice.
Like, listen, man.
Come on. Like, I'm gonna build up relationships with these rookie wide receivers. So and I can't.
He tried so hard.
Man,
for a minute.
I know, right?
Another time that I wish people could see us. We really need to start doing video because listening to it, you're like, wow, Steve is like the angry man yelling into the cloud right now. Like he's upset. Meanwhile, he's saying this with the biggest smile on his face, grinning ear to ear. He's like, "Ooh, Aaron Rodgers, he didn't show up."
Part of me thought maybe we need content.
Part of me thought he was actually upset for a second. They're like, "No, we talked about this 10 minutes ago that he was going to be fake mad." I know I knew what this was, but he still, you got me there, Steve. So
you guys told me to be fake mad. I was just playing the part.
You sold it. You did a great job. Just tremendous work there, Steve. Yeah, I would not have been able to sell it that well. I guess in additional notes there, like some guys were there in a side workout area, so not actually, you know, on the field doing any drills or anything. And that was some guys from last year that were going through injuries. Kylan Hill, David Bakhtiari, Elton Jenkins, Robert Tonyan, Dean Lowry. And then one of the more interesting notes to me, I thought, was a starting offensive line. This means nothing because, you know, a lot of guys are out. Some guys are not OTAs. But the starting offensive line that they brought out for the first OTAs, which, again, means nothing. But, hey, content in May. Yash Nyman, the left tackle. This is from left to right. Nyman, Runyon, Myers, Newman, and Van Lannen. That was their starting lineup for the offensive line they rolled out. And then kind of later on, they had Newman slide to right tackle and Hanson to right guard. Doesn't mean anything in the grand scheme of things, but it does speak, to you know what the Packers like, which is offensive line versatility and kind of moving those guys around. Royce Newman at right tackle, I don't love that, but you know they're trying him there. They've got nothing else to lose, so why not? So those are the notes I came up with from OTAs. Sarah, you had a fun note about the special teams, some of the guys they had on special teams, but I'll let you take that one.
Yeah, I mean, we know special teams is just absolutely an area of need, and it really can only go up for the Packers because I'm not sure it can get much worse on special teams this season. But they had a stellar lineup out there at OTAs on Tuesday, and that consisted of Devondre Campbell, Aaron Jones, and Adrian Amos. And yes, I did read the correct lineup there. So do what you'd like with that, but very just interesting. I don't know.
Have any undrafted rookies they can put on special teams? What the hell?
I have a feeling that I'm thinking back to my youth soccer days where we'd have to play, you know, certain games, whether it be 3v3, and we couldn't decide on teams. And so the coach was just like, "I'm going to give everyone a number. And if you get number three, you're all on the same team." I think that's what happened. They all just lined up and they said, "Okay, you guys got this number, or you drew this number out of a hat. You're special
actually
teams for today."
I would say if you think about it, those three guys, those sound like the three of the guys on the team that would actually volunteer to go on special teams and OTAs. Like, legitimately think about it. Like, "Oh, yeah, coach, I got you. I got you, coach. Don't worry."
You're right. Mm-hmm. Steve, what are your thoughts, since you just are a firm believer that Aaron Rodgers should be at these voluntary OTAs? What if Aaron Rodgers just showed up and he said, "I'm not going to play quarterback, but I'm going to play special teams. I'm going to help you guys out."
I mean, I want to see it. I absolutely want to see it. That's a $50 million man. He should be playing more than quarterback. He should be, like, legitimately, he should be able to be down there making tackles. He should be leading the, like, helping with the cheerleaders. He should be, like, everything.
He's a man of many talents. He's a quarterback, soon to be special team star, owner of the Chicago Bears. The list goes on. So anyways, Dusty talked a little bit about some of the things that happened on the field at OTAs, which is great. But of course, now we talked about this with Aaron Nagler about over a month ago now, when he was on our show, that reporters and media are back in the locker room this season. So we got to see that today. And there were some interesting tidbits that came out of media availability after OTAs on Tuesday. So we'll start with the more serious one, and then the rest were pretty lighthearted and fun. But somebody asked a really great question to Jordan Love. You know, this was maybe the year that, you know, when Jordan Love was originally drafted, that he thought, okay, this year is going to be the year, you know, 2022 season, where I'm going to be the starter for the Green Bay Packers. And he was kind of building to this point. Well, obviously, Aaron Rodgers signed the extension. That didn't happen. So somebody asked, you know, Jordan Love, what's your mentality like this offseason, and how is it going to change maybe going into the season, or how did it change? And he had a really interesting answer. If you haven't, you know, listened to his full quote, I would definitely recommend checking it out. But he said he was obviously thrilled for Aaron with the extension, and that it's so well-deserved. And that, you know, he's always prepared as a backup, as if he was the guy. You know, if something happens, we saw last year with COVID, he had to step in. If something like that happens, he needs to be prepared mentally to just jump in and know the playbook and do the best he can to lead the team. So he said he's really just going to approach it that way. Of course, selfishly and personally, he was like, oh, you know, Aaron's back, so I'm the backup again. And, you know, that probably sucks. You get drafted and you want to play and you have to continue to be the backup. So I appreciated, personally, I appreciated his honesty there. And then also really respect just kind of his outlook and mentality. And I think it's the reason why, you know, the team wants to keep him around. And it seems like he has good relationships with the other quarterbacks in the room too. So that I'm interested to just see how that develops as the year goes on. Some more like fun parts of media availability on Tuesday. So as we know, Jaire Alexander got paid, which is amazing. And Darnell Savage Jr. said that he had paid for Jaire Alexander's parking at the airport for several away games, so that he's expecting money back now that he's making $21 million per year. So I thought that was funny also because he was making millions of dollars before. So I'm like, why didn't he pay the parking before? But now, you know, he's got even more millions of dollars.
I'm a little confused by that. Is that like some sort of, was that like a rookie hazing thing that started? Because, I mean, both first round draft picks, and Jaire was like a couple picks ahead, like number wise, like ahead of him a couple. I think Jaire was like 18. Darnell was like, what was he, 21? And yeah, I mean, it's not like they're making that different of money at that point. So
I kind of assumed rookie hazing.
Yeah.
I kind of thought the same thing when I read it. Like, if it's not rookie hazing, this makes zero sense to me. So I assume some kind of rookie hazing thing.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yep. Well, in addition to money, apparently Jaire Alexander also owes Packers guys snacks too. So if you recall, Eric Stokes bought a bunch of snacks for the veteran defensive guys last season, and he was very proud of that. But he said now that I actually think Schneidman was the one that asked him, hey, you know, now that he's got all that money, do you expect some snacks or some favors in return? And he said, heck yeah, I'm definitely getting something from him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I'm sure there'll be some Christmas gifts maybe this year. I know that's a big thing where guys typically like to, you know, recognize the guys that they're in the same room with and that, you know, they go to work with every day. And then last little tidbit, if you're on Twitter, which I'm sure many of you are, you obviously saw that Kenny Clark and MVS used to just absolutely bully the hell out of each other on Twitter almost every day. They would call each other ugly. It was just brutal. And so somebody asked Kenny Clark about it. He said he'll miss doing it in person, but that don't worry. They still talk on the phone and they just do it that way instead. So if you were losing sleep over the fact that you can't see some of that banter, don't you worry, because it's still happening. You just don't know about it.
I think one time MVS said Kenny Clark had the body of a microwave, and that one took me out. That was very good.
They were most random insults.
You guys, no, that's not going to be happening anymore. I don't know if you saw this on Twitter, but a Kansas City Chiefs fan told MVS that he needs to cut all ties with anything related to the Green Bay Packers and just be done with it, which he called him weird. Yeah. I was like, dude, that's awesome. That's amazing. I love that. Made me love MVS even more. So I don't know. I actually have some really breaking news. You guys have not seen this. It just broke on Twitter. But Chris Olave coming to the Green Bay Packers.
Woo!
Swear to God, coming to the Green Bay Packers.
My dreams
via shared practice fields with the Green Bay Packers.
Boo, this man.
I found out today that the New Orleans Saints are going to be doing some shared practices with the Packers this year. And it's not super exciting. So, over under, how many fights do you guys think are going to happen? One and a half. What do you think, Dusty?
Oh man, I'll hit the over on that. Yeah. I feel like it's going to be two or three. And they always say fights. It's like light scuffles. But yeah, 1.5. I take the over.
Okay. Yeah, I'm smashing the over on that. There's probably some hard feelings that the Saints absolutely just pooped all over the Packers in week one. So I have a feeling there might be some chirping about that. It's going to get ugly. Not like terrible, but the words will be exchanged.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's all fair. Bill Huber wrote an article within the last week or so, and it got posted today about the new special teams coordinator, Bisaccia, and you were able to read a little bit of it, had a couple of quotes from there that you wanted to just talk about a little bit since we're lacking on content. So let's hear it.
I'll hit a couple. So actually there was one, Schneidman hit one today as well. So the impetus behind the Huber article, I feel like, kind of stems off of the Schneidman one. So basically what a lot of it was taken from OTAs today was, boy, Bisaccia sure jumps around and yells a lot. Like he really is he's a fiery dude. Like LaFleur described as a fiery dude. The way Schneidman put it in his article for The Athletic was, he was galloping downfield during a coverage drill with his players, and his expletive count, both from excitement and frustration, and just an hour and a half, surpassed what we heard from Maurice Drayton all last season. Again, fiery dude, but kind of reading some of the stuff, and some of these quotes are from last week, but it's fun. It's fun reading about this just because we don't know what this is going to look like, but it seems like there's an energy around, almost the same way that we heard about Joe Barry, different kind of context last year, as far as the energy he brings. It's the same thing. Everything you read about Bisaccia, it's about the energy. He's described himself as a short, bald Italian that maybe makes me mad at everybody, is the way Bisaccia has described himself. A tough love is the way that he's kind of he's described, and the way that him talking about the special teams room, and this made me think of when Sarah brought up the guys, Aaron Jones and everyone on special teams, was he says when they get on the field, this is him talking about kind of the guys in the special teams room, the guys on the field, when they get on the field, they've got a jersey number on, they're accountable to the guy next to them, they're accountable to their job. When they come into my office, then they've got a name, now we can talk football, we can talk about anything you want to talk about, but when I get on the field, they have a job to do, and they're accountable to the guy next to them, in front of them, behind them, and so on. And that's our one play mentality. So he kind of, I mean, the way he talks, like hearing people talk about him, he's this fiery guy. If you hear him talking about himself, he's a fiery guy. And it seems like when we kind of knew this coming in, he's going to be tough on people. But everyone, I mean, the Raiders to a man, like, listen, he was tough to play for sometimes, but everyone in that room loved him. And it's cool kind of seeing this side of it now, both from seeing the way he acts on the field during OTAs, seeing some of these quotes that's exactly what it's going to be. He's going to be tough love. He's going to be in your face, but he's also a guy you can see really easy to kind of root for and love and get everyone on the same page. So yeah, those were kind of both the little tidbit from Schneidman in his Athletic article. But yeah, over on SI.com, Huber's got kind of a longer article about some of the stuff from today, which was fun.
I did not see this anywhere on Twitter, but was Schneidman in a tracksuit today?
I didn't see it, and no one was roasting him about it, so I'm going to guess no.
Probably not then. Okay. That's all right. That's understandable. All right. Well, that wraps up all the content that we have for this week. So we got a grand total of 3 questions on Twitter. So thank you to the 3 of you who did that and sent those into us. So we'll just get those going, and then we'll keep this one quick today. So first one is from Gooseborn. Goesborn? I'm not sure. Sorry about that, buddy. Who will make a bigger impact as a rookie? Walker, Wyatt, or Watson? Sarah, who do you think?
Good question. I think Watson, just because visually it might be a bit more flashy. You might see it a bit more. I also think he brings that speed element that the Packers are hoping we're looking to replace after losing, you know, MVS and Devontae Adams. So that'll be great. And I think he's a perfect fit for the Packers. I'm loving all the stuff I've been seeing from him. And it just seems like he's going to go into his rookie year and just crush it. I have really good vibes about it. But I also think that Devontae Wyatt could be a standout too. I mean, that front seven is looking really scary. And, you know, if he's getting advice and mentorship from Kenny Clark, then look out, because that could be a just absolutely lovely duo for the Packers.
Do you want to add Quay Walker in there too? I mean, and just not answer it at all? Who has the bigger impact? So you just answered 2 out of 3.
66%. 66% on.
Whatever. I said Watson first, but then I said Wyatt would be a close second. Shut up, Steve. God.
I think 1A, 1B, 1C, Steve, as far as their impact. For me, I want to say Watson, but I am going to go Wyatt. I feel like part of that's just it's the positional value of it, or as easy as it is to translate in the position. I've talked about it before. I think Wyatt's going to struggle a little bit. The first-round linebackers, there's just a lot to step into to be an immediate contributor, and I think it's just going to take him a little bit. Same thing with wide receivers. I think Watson's going to make an impact. I just don't think he's going to kind of come along slowly. But I think Wyatt from day one could come in. You stick him next to Kenny Clark and what he does with the line and what he helps with the pass rush. I just think as far as plug and play, Wyatt seems like the easiest guy from a rookie class as far as where he plays.
Yeah, that's my answer too. I think if you've got Kenny Clark getting double teamed and then you've got Rashawn Gary getting maybe wanting to add to Chip, adding into double team to him. Like if you're just going to leave Preston Smith and Devontae Wyatt by themselves, man, okay, yeah. Sign me up. Yeah. And I think that he can beat those single teams off, like starting as a rookie. So I'm all on board on that. I also think that Quay Walker and Christian Watson can make a really big impact. So I really like, I'm not sure, maybe all 3 of them. That could be really what happens. All 3 of them could make a huge impact right away. So Sarah's just giving us the dead eyes. There's just the dead eyes. Yeah, it's understandable. Mike Kawano, who is your 2022 way too early rookie crush? And then for Dusty and I, he has a question about cylinder or rotary mowers. So Dusty, we'll start with you. Who's your crush?
I'll go Christian. It's man, and listen, it's gonna be Christian Watson or Romeo Dubs. I think Watson's on the field more, and I love him from what he did at college. So I'll go Watson because I don't know, that's who I am and that's what I love. And for the lawnmowers, you know what? I do rotary just because it's kind of cheaper and it's what I have. I think taken by itself, I think the cylinder mowers are better. They're just way more expensive. And like, I'm not running a high end golf course here, man. I'm cutting my lawn. I want it to look nice enough where the neighbors don't kill me and give the place give the kids room and a nice room to kind of run around outside. So I go rotary and I make no apologies.
Well, I'm going to answer part one of that question.
Is it the entire draft class?
I was just going to say, it's the entire draft class.
Equally.
Yeah, they all have an equal share of my heart. No, I talked about this last week. I think Romeo Doubs is really going to surprise people. And I think I'm crushing on him a little bit. So that would be my rookie crush.
I think I'm going to go Sean Ryan. I'm really intrigued. I've really hoped that this is the time that the third round draft pick, like bust factory that the Packers have been, gets broken. But, you know, that offensive line versatility that they always look for is something that he's got. And I really just, I don't know. I have a gut feeling that this kid could be the real deal, could be the next right tackle for the Packers, guard, whatever they need him to be. And so that's pretty much what I'm looking for. As far as lawnmower, yeah, that's a rotary. I'm not going to be buying any fancy ass thing to cut my lawn. It's the bought something at Home Depot like 5 years ago, and that's what I got. So. All right, and then the last question, our good old buddy Matt Pickett, he wants to know, which Packers rookie do you think will be A, the biggest surprise, B, the most valuable, whew, and C, the most lovable? And then he does have a food question. We're entering barbecue party season, so what are your favorite and least favorite side dishes found at these events? Sarah, we'll start with you.
All right, well, I feel like I kind of answered a little bit already, but I'll just recap. So biggest surprise, Romeo Doubs, most valuable, Christian Watson, most lovable. That's good. I think it's going to be Sean Ryan. Like, he's got the hair. He gives me a lot of David Bakhtiari vibes, who is just insanely lovable and a huge fan favorite. I think they're going to team up. Bakhtiari is going to take him under his wing a little bit, and he'll become a fan favorite. I could see him, you know, the Packers do those social media videos now where they put, you know, the camera up and all the players are walking by on the way to practice. I could see him having some very good answers that everybody laughs at. So that would be my answer for that. My favorite and least favorite side dishes found at those events. Okay, so mac and cheese would be my favorite, easy. And least favorite, without a doubt, coleslaw. What? Disgusting. Yes. Hate, yes. Coleslaw. Nasty. Don't even convince me. My mom tries to do this all the time where she's like, it's not like the traditional coleslaw. I made it slightly different. Garbage. Sorry, still, mom. Love
still,
you.
Still but sucks, mom.
Still sucks. And it's not you, mom. It's me. I don't like it.
Okay. Yeah. I've talked about this before. So biggest surprise, we're so close to this, you know, we follow the Packers. We talk about the Packers, but I'd say at least somewhat intelligently on a weekly basis. I read a lot. And so when I think like biggest surprise, every name I was looking at, I feel like I've already seen a piece saying like, oh, this guy is going to be the breakout of the draft class. So biggest surprise is tough for me to kind of quantify in that, because I feel like it's not really going to be a surprise for someone, but let's go. I'm going to go Tyler Goodson. I was kind of going between Tariq Carpenter or Tyler Goodson. Tyler Goodson, who's on, you know, undrafted free agent, running back. I talked about Kylan Hill earlier. He's kind of rehabbing. Goodson could be, I think he's going to end up RB3, you know, do some special team stuff, but he's kind of just a shifty, twitchy little guy that I think the Packers are going to make some nice use of in the offense. So I'll go Tyler Goodson, RB3 is my surprise. Most valuable, I'll go Zach Tom. Just because I do feel like the positional versatility, I feel like he's a guy, I don't know, I think he could challenge for a starting spot right away. I don't know that he comes away with one, but I think he could play, you know, a handful of different positions along the line there, and they really value that. I mean, he seems like a guy from day one, if you need to plug him into a guard spot, he's going to, at the very least, he's going to give you a baseline of adequate. So I think Zach Tom is going to be for, you know, hopefully we don't see the injuries we saw last year along the offensive line, but if they do have those injuries, I think Tom is a plug and play guy with a chance to be a starter from day one. So I think he could be the most valuable, most lovable. I'll go Christian Watson, just because everything I've heard about him is that he's just a good dude, just kind of a good, happy man. And I like good, happy men. So I'll go Christian Watson. I honestly don't have a good feel for the personalities of the rookies so far. So who knows? That's my answer. Who knows? And my barbecue questions. Let's see. My favorite side dish. Not every place has these. I make these, Steve. I know we've talked about it. I started making them because you make them. And that's the stuffed jalapeno poppers. Man, like those bacon wrap stuffed jalapeno peppers. If I'm making them on my grill. I don't know if anyone else is making them on theirs. So me and Steve are doing it. And if you see them, eat those, because that's some elite stuff right there. So I'm taking that. And least favorite, yeah, I'm absolutely 100% with Sarah. It's the same thing with like Thanksgiving stuffing for me. Listen, man, I don't care if it's like your great-great-grandmother's secret recipe handed down from like before Jesus was born or whatever it is. It's garbage. And if you put it in front of me, it's going into the garbage. So that is my coleslaw take.
Yeah, I mean, if a recipe's from that old, like it can't be good.
Yeah. Yeah. And guess what? If it's newer, it's also not good. It's consistent. I give it that. Coleslaw is consistent.
See, I'm okay. Like, I'm okay with coleslaw. Just, I'm in the middle. Like, it's okay. It's not something I'm like going what's out of wrong? My way to eat.
Are you okay?
I live in Wisconsin. For hell, it's comes with every single fish
Blink
fry you
twice
ever
if
get.
You're okay, Steve.
Yeah, like legitimately every fish fry you ever get comes with coleslaw. So I don't know. I'm just like trained that way. That's just, but it's not something I'm like looking forward to, but it's not something that I hate either. So, all right, let's go. Biggest surprise. I'm actually going to go off the board from what you guys went, and I'm going to go with Quay Walker. I don't know what the hell he's going to be. Like, I'm excited that they went first round draft pick for an inside linebacker. Of course I am, but I mean, they didn't even pick the quote unquote best inside linebacker on the Georgia team this year. they see the instincts. They see the things that they like in him and the potential. And that's great. But as Dusty said earlier, like inside linebacker, it's a very mental position. It's something that takes time. It's not something that a lot of guys succeed at immediately in the NFL. And it's so, I think that's the biggest surprise, is everybody expects him to just slot right in right next to Devondre Campbell and just be a stud. And I think that's a mistake. I think you've got to give this kid a little bit of time to learn what Joe Barry wants. And I think I believe that Joe Barry will put him in good positions. They're not just going to throw him to the wolves and do something stupid, but there's going to be mistakes. So I think that's probably going to be a big surprise for people. Most valuable. Pull that up really quick. I do think it's going to be Christian Watson. I think with the lack of wide receiver depth that they have right now, I think he's going to be relied on more than they normally would for wide receivers. Talked about all this stuff before, so not a surprise to anybody. And then most lovable, I mean, like I'm throwing a dart at a dartboard here and just guessing. So let's go with Romeo Dubs, just because he's got number 87 and Jordy Nelson was so lovable when he was in the 87 that I feel like that's good. And since, you know, Sternberger wasn't that guy, I think the next guy up, Romeo Dubs, he's going to be lovable in that position. So we'll go Romeo Dubs. And then as far as barbecue season, let's see, favorite side dish. My mother makes a really, really good potato salad that goes well with barbecue, especially when it's freshly made. The potatoes are still warm. Like, oh, man, that's that hits really well. And then least favorite dish. I just don't like the lazy people that come over and like dump a bag of Lay's potato chips into a thing like, here's a side dish. Like, no, you didn't do a side dish. So, all right, guys, that kind of wraps everything up for us. So, kind of a crazy day, and normally we do final thoughts from everybody. But today we kind of talked about it a little bit, and I'm just going to talk a little bit about some of the crazy stuff that happened today in Texas. And I'm sure everybody knows there was a school shooting at an elementary school. Obviously we don't want to get super political into anything like that, but, honestly, it's a really sad day again, and this continues to happen again and again and again and again, and it makes me really sad. It makes me scared, and as a father of two young kids, it's a horrible thing that continues to happen in this country. So all I'm going to say is, if you do have kids, if you do have nieces, nephews, give them that hug that you can whenever you can, and be thankful that they're in their beds tonight, because there's several families down in Texas that weren't afforded that luxury for no reason whatsoever tonight. So, think of them when you can, and really see what you can do to see if you can help enforce some change in this country. We'll just leave it at that. Thank you guys for listening. As always, follow us on Twitter @DustyEvely, @SarahKeller4, @StevePurr, @JatPeggyDayPodcast. We will be back next week. Dusty's going to be on vacation, so Sarah and I will come up with some fun stuff to talk about. And then, yeah, appreciate you guys as always. And as always, go Pack, go.